For those who I don't know, my name is Baba or Benjamin, and I work for UNDP, the United Nations Development Programme. And today I'm not going to be speaking in capacity of a UNDP person. I'm just talking as an Orwellian, let's say, with some knowledge of climate change. Now, so climate change, I think we've all now experienced it, more or less, in different ways. What are its impacts? And this was how the talk came about with Sri: impacts, challenges, and opportunities. So impacts of climate change, we see even here, not even, but a lot here, it usually takes the form of what we call an increase in extreme weather events. It's getting a little bit technical here, but basically what happens is that the heat that the atmosphere is accumulating increases the intensity of any given events. So if you remember in the 70s and the 80s when we used to have cyclones, for example here, the maximum wind speeds would be around 100, 110 kilometers an hour. And Thane, or last year Gaja in Nagapattinam, you're seeing winds at 140, 150. So what's happening is that the intensity of events is increasing. There was a Category 5 hurricane over the Bahamas earlier. So intensity is increasing and frequency is increasing. So we're going to see more and more of those events in the future. And so extreme weather events, hurricanes, floods, droughts, whatever you want to call them, they're visible, we experience them, some part of the country is experiencing, it's very difficult for everyone and we understand. But there's a more creeping, what we call a creeping phenomenon, which is a slightly more, less visible and yet catastrophic phenomenon that's also taking place. And that is that seasons are slightly changing. And you would experience that. For example, those of us who've lived here all our lives, we don't have these heavy downpours at night on the 20th of September. It's going to pour tonight. Not supposed to happen. It's a weather event that should happen at the end of August in our normal seasonal systems here. End of August, bam, boom, bam, you get these huge rains at night. 20th November, September, today, you would have blue skies where the winds are changing, we're moving towards the northeast monsoon. It's not happening yet. It's going to happen. But you can see that seasons are moving. They're slightly shifting. And if you look at rainfall, a lot of the climate change issue is to do with rainfall and how it falls, because that's the issue. If you look at long-term averages of rainfall across the world, they're not changing that much. We have slight differences, but they're not really changing that much. While temperatures are rising everywhere, we see those graphs, rainfall is pretty much staying the same. What's changing is what we call the variance, which is the standard deviation of the rainfall, how it falls and when it falls. So we get the same amount of a meter 10 here, for example, it's about 110 centimeters a year, but millimeters, sorry, whatever, 1 meter 10. But now it all comes down in 1 week at the end of November. Bang, you know, you get 40 centimeters of rain. Before, it used to be a bit more spread out, okay? So this is what climate change is doing: extreme temperatures, extreme weather events, and a change in seasonal and rainfall patterns. Now, why is that a problem? Well, it depends who you are and where you live. So if you're wealthy in a good, rich country like Sweden or France, and you live on the third floor of a nice apartment building, and you have a good bank account, then probably these problems are not yours, because you have a flood, well, you're on the third floor, so it's never going to reach there. If you have a drought, there's water at the tap. And you're a rich country, so they're not going to run out of water because they can have desalination plants and, you know, water treatment plants and stuff like that. And if the rain doesn't come exactly when it comes, well, your livelihood doesn't depend on it. Yeah, you're working in a data company or Facebook somewhere, and, you know, you're in a computer and in an AC room. Big deal if it was supposed to rain or be cold now and it's not and it's later. It doesn't really matter. So climate change is having impacts differently across different places and different people and types of communities. And one big problem with climate change is what we call equity. Equity is the fact that we are more or less equal. Climate change has a big problem with equity. It affects the most vulnerable the most. So if you're a poor farmer that has about an acre of land or two, which is a lot of farmers in the world, and you're growing one crop during one rainy season, And that crop is supposed to give you your food security, your food for the year and for your family, and pay the bills for your kids to go to school, to get clothes, and pay for the medicines. And this season doesn't happen the way it should happen, because it doesn't rain when it's supposed to rain, or there's a drought or a flood, and your crop is washed out, well then you're in real trouble. You're not in a rich country on the third floor where you go to the shop to buy your food. This was your food. Now, this problem concerns about 500 million farmers in India alone, 500 million in Africa, and about 300 million in China. And we're not going into the small countries, yeah, because whatever. These numbers alone speak. So there's about 1 billion people on the planet today that depend on what we call subsistence agriculture. Agriculture that you don't really sell, but that you eat. And when you don't have that agriculture, you don't eat. So we have problems all the time with that in Africa. For example, right now in northern Zambia, there's a drought, maize is not growing, and farmers are becoming food insecure. The World Food Program is moving in to help people with providing food bags, etc. So this is about the impacts of climate change. It impacts different people, different communities differently. In Oroville, our main challenge will be water. Cyclones, droughts to some extent, but water. Because these long summers, very hot summers, where we see the water table going down, down every year, eventually, it's going to be problematic for the region. So, different impacts for different people. What are the challenges here? The biggest challenge today is to reduce what we call greenhouse gases, carbon emissions, what we push out of our motorcycles, cars, but actually mostly from what we call power plants. So all these things that are used by, that we use coal to make electricity, those are the ones that when you add up all the pollution that is created on Earth by flights, by agriculture, by traveling on in cars and bikes, energy power plants, coal-fired energy power plants are some of the most damaging and the most polluting. So our biggest problem here is to maintain the Earth's temperature, which is rising. It's today at about 1.5 degrees above what we call a long-term average. So we've been tracking temperature on Earth since about 1840. So we have quite a bit of data. And when you take the long-term average of that, you see that curve that I went over very quickly, and it shows that we've now reached about 1.5 degrees on average above this long-term average. And what the UN and all the Paris Agreement and the governments of the world are trying to achieve is to not breach the 2-degree level. Because this is what scientists say is livable. After 2 degrees, we don't really know. Why? Because we get into a system where we have what we call feedback loops and tipping points, where the system itself, the Earth, produces greenhouse gases and out of control. So for example, the tundra and all these permafrost, if that melts completely, then the methane that's being thrown out into the atmosphere without us being able to control it is going to do this kind of runaway climate change where we can't do anything about it anymore. So that's the challenge. That's the big challenge. There are two challenges. One is what we call mitigation, to mitigate the problems of climate change and reduce these emissions that we're doing. And the other one is adaptation. I focus more on adaptation. Adaptation is about adapting to climate change. We know that climate change is here to stay. We've put enough carbon into the atmosphere for 1,000 years for the oceans and forests to kind of reabsorb all this and go back to a normal climate. It can take, we don't really know. 1,000, maybe 2, maybe 20. So we need to adapt. And again, adaptation is for everybody, but it's more important for the poor farmer than for the rich person in Paris in a, you know, nice third floor building. So adaptation focuses mostly on three things. One is what we call resilient agriculture. We try to help farmers do an agriculture that is more resilient to a changing climate. I don't want to go into the details because it's too long and it's a bit boring, but basically it's about what we call diversification. We diversify agriculture, we provide water, better inputs, training, all sorts of stuff to farmers so that they can actually grow their crops in a changing climate. That's one thing. The second thing that's very important is to set up what we call climate information and early warning systems. Why is it important? Because we are used to having weather in our phones, on TV, on radio. We know the weather forecast. In a remote location of Uganda, where a farmer lives alone without, there's no network, his phone is off, there's no 3G, all that. There's one newspaper that's a week old, there's a bit of radio somewhere. He has no idea what the weather will be tomorrow. No idea. So planting your crops, making a livelihood when you don't know the weather is really complicated if you're a farmer. So I do a lot of work in strengthening what we call meteorology departments in countries to be able to provide their people with climate information, with weather forecasts, etc., etc. It's actually crucial. We take it for granted because we have it all the time, but when you don't have it and you do an activity like agriculture, it's really something that you need. So that's what we do mostly, and then there's something called alternative livelihoods, but we won't get into that too much. Mitigation, the challenges that we're working on are moving to a more clean energy supply. It's really energy and fuel, you know, this kind of coal and fuel, fossil fuel. We need to move away from that. And it means replacing with, you know, wind power, solar energy, waves, all the alternative energies that are being developed today. And phasing that out. So a lot of countries today have made pledges. They're called nationally determined contributions, where they say, on their own, we promise to not emit so many more tons of carbon by this time. And of course, there's something that's unfair here, because it's the developed countries, the industrialized countries, that created this problem. And we're back to this equity issue, where the problem was caused by the rich countries, and it's the poor countries that are suffering the consequences of it, or most of them. The hurricanes do go to the US, but the US has the billions of dollars to rebuild, to protect, to evacuate, and all that. Other countries may not. So the rich countries created the problem. The poor countries are the ones suffering from it. So there are now agreements in the world for money to be transferred from rich countries to poor countries to help them adapt to climate change. So there are mechanisms for that, lots of different ones. And part of my job is to help these poor countries access this money. So there's a fund called the Green Climate Fund, which was created at the Paris Agreement in 2015. They have billions of dollars that they want to give to poor countries to help them adapt to climate change. So those are the challenges. Quickly, the opportunities. In Chinese, the word opportunity and the word crisis is the same word. So in every crisis, there's an opportunity, always. And this is no different. This is our opportunity as mankind to evolve. We're not given the choice. It's like either we move and we improve the way we function as an organic living being in this system and we become more sustainable and we protect our planet, or eventually there's going to be some catastrophic climate change, which means basically when people say catastrophic climate change, it's the breakdown of agriculture. Once we're not able to grow food anymore because the weather has become so bad, then nobody can eat. Even if you're rich, there's no food at the supermarket. So this is catastrophic climate change. We're talking a couple hundred years, we don't do anything, business as usual, etc. It's not going to happen. Probably not. And this crisis of climate change is actually pushing the world towards clean energy, better sustainable living, better consumption. We're coming back from this whole 50 years of over-consumerism, this race after money and stuff to buy become more rich. It doesn't work. Today, we estimate that we use 1.6 planets to live, which means that we live on credit. Every year, by the time we reach August, we've used up all the resources the planet is able to give to us. After that, we're just taking credit. We're burning, cutting, using, doing whatever. So I think that there is an opportunity. I'm a positive person. I believe that we'll make it change. When you look at the kids today, when you look at the values of people today, there's a drastic change. And it's happening everywhere, whether it's in Africa, in Europe. People want to go and buy, like we do at PTDC, just the right amount that they need. They don't want to buy the 1 kilo packet anymore. They're like, why? This is not useful. There are experiments today in France, in Germany, where they've asked families to live differently. So become sustainable, don't shop in the supermarket, let's try and live differently. It's a huge success. Huge success. People have saved money, they live better, they've started businesses about it, so things are changing, values are changing. Our children, when I grew up, and I grew up in the alternative, beautiful Orville that we were supposed to be, I never heard, don't throw plastic, don't drive your bike, don't burn this, never. It just was not in the psyche. My parents were not stupid, but we didn't believe in these things. We didn't know. In the 80s, we were like, oh yeah, Amazon forest, yeah, something's happening, they're cutting trees there, some elephants are dying in Africa. That's it. That was it. We didn't know. Didn't we? Do you remember Fred telling you, oh, careful with climate change, you know, environment? No. We were not taught, we were not brought up that way. Our children, my daughter today is 8, and she gives me lectures every day. Why are you going on your bike? Why are you using your car? Don't throw this plastic here. Don't buy this. Today morning, I was in the village in Kulapalayam. We were eating idli. She said, I'm thirsty. I said, I'll buy you a bottle of water. No, 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 Papa, don't buy a bottle of water. Let's go home. One generation. I didn't know nothing about it. I was brought up like a brat saying, you know, we can burn plastic outside, do whatever, rip our bikes, fly wherever we want. My daughter is like, no, we need to be careful. The strikes today all over the world. Greta Thunberg, icon of the youth. So things are changing. Values, ways of living are changing. Coupled with technology, because technology is moving super fast, I believe we can, you know, lower the curve and hopefully not hit the catastrophic climate change and the crisis that is upon us. There you go. That's what I had to say. Thank you very much.